You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Haggerty, and for Vicky Gonzalez. California has the largest Native American population in the country. We're home to more than 100 federally recognized tribes. From northern to central and southern parts of the state, tribes have long been grappling with a crisis of missing and murdered indigenous people, also known as MMIP, an epidemic that is rooted in a complex web of neglected issues, from gaps in law enforcement and government funding to shortcomings in social services and generational trauma. For the first time ever, tribes across California gathered at the state capitol to demand that lawmakers take action in the form of legislation and funding, specifically calling on lawmakers to pass two bills that tribes say will curb the crisis, as well as approve $200 million in funding to build programs and services to prevent these tragedies from taking place. Joining us to explain more is Joseph James, chairman of the Yurok tribe, the largest tribe in the state, located in the heart of the California Redwoods along the Klamath River in Del Norte and Humboldt counties. Thanks for making the time to be with us today, Chairman.
Thank you.
So although Native American and indigenous communities have been painfully grappling with this for generations, people listening today might be hearing about this for the first time. How do you want to begin talking about the crisis of missing and murdered indigenous people?
Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Joseph James, chairman of the Yurok tribe. Thank you for allowing me to use this platform today to talk about that. This crisis has been going on for a number of years. And again, as yesterday was a day of action for tribal leaders throughout the state of California. We heard from victims, advocates. We heard from state legislators. Last year of October 22, tribal leaders and Assemblymember James Ramos there and his colleagues introduced the Feather Alert to bring awareness, to bring call for action. We're only the second state in the United States to have a Feather Alert system. Only the second.
I take it that that's like an Amber Alert or a Silver Alert.
That is correct. That is correct. And when you look at this, as you mentioned, MMIP, this has been going on a number of years. We're rallying as tribes, as advocates, as victims, as family, as legislators. We are bringing awareness, but most importantly, action. That's what we were there for yesterday. We have two bills that have been introduced by Assemblymember Ramos, and as you mentioned in your opening, a funding request for the governor and the legislator.
And we'll get to those specifics in just a second. Let me ask, there are 110 federally recognized tribes in California. Is MMIP an issue literally in every tribe in the state? Is this endemic?
It impacts all of us. We all know somebody in our family, or we all know somebody in our tribe that has impacted us. California has the fifth largest cases of MMIP in the United States. That's a fact. And again, to answer your question, all of us are impacted here in California as tribes, and it's just not indigenous people. It's all of us.
And for people who maybe aren't as familiar with the tribal situation in California as they would like to be, tribal land is not something you can easily fit into a box. Some of it weaves between urban areas in the state, the Yurok, yours, in beautiful, remote territory along the Pacific, just south of the Oregon border. What are the main and unique challenges in solving cases of missing and murdered indigenous people?
We're located up there in Northern California along the lower Klamath River. Mm-hmm. We're very rural. It's beautiful. We're rich with the river, the environment, and the Great Redwoods. But as part of the challenges there is resources, funding, law enforcement. We have our own law enforcement. And again, being able to need to act in real time when somebody gets abducted, threatened, or missing. We're stretched over two counties. So those are some of the obstacles that I'd highlight.
You have a law enforcement agency that, as you say, is tribal. So on the one hand, you're not dealing with systemic racism in that particular case, but you are severely underfunded.
That is correct. As a rural tribe up there in Northern California, we're going to continue to do that good fight to protect our people, our community, our tribe, and all of us up there in our community.
Is there a sense when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous people of who are most at risk of being victims?
Indigenous women and children are most likely, and that's a fact with the data. 4 in 5 Native women have experienced violence in their life. They're vulnerable. And again, this is a call for action. We are in a crisis. We have been in a crisis for years. And when we see the media, the locals, the national news, you know, this has nothing new for us. And again, we're trying to highlight, to bring awareness, and not just the help driven by tribes and legislators, but all of us in the great state of California. We have an opportunity to right the wrong and also lead by example as California, as tribes in California, with other states too to partner. Again, there's only 2 feather alerts systems, and that's huge. If you look at it and let that think in, why?
Would you be willing to share with us right now how you personally have been touched by this issue?
You know, we have a number of missing men and women on or near our reservation. We're located up there in Klamath, along the lower Klamath River, Yurok Tribe, Kurok Tribe, Hoopa Tribe. We're all river people. We all share and participate in our culture. You know, when somebody goes missing, someone goes murdered, we all feel it as people. And again, so we've all been impacted. So it's personal, you know, to and I'm doing everything I can as a tribal leader, using my voice, but more importantly, pushing and calling for action within the state, within local law enforcement. We have great support with our local law enforcement. But again, resources are tough up there. Funding is tough. And again, it's a...
Are you seeing an improvement in the understanding on the part of the state governments?
We have a long ways to go. We have a long ways to go to answer your question there. If you, and we're making great strides.
What's often missing from the conversation?
Awareness is one. You got to educate and bring awareness to people in the room. You got to be at the table in the room. You've got to be able to want to make change. And so that's number one. And two is to update and change his laws protecting the health and safety of MMIP victims.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chairman Joseph James of the Yurok Tribe about the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people and why more than 100 tribes across the state are calling on lawmakers to pass legislation and funding to curb this epidemic. So let's get to the event at the state capitol yesterday. It was the first ever MMIP Day of Action. How did this come about?
The Yurok Tribe and other tribal leaders throughout California have been working on this for a little while. But I want to first go back.
Okay.
This is about the people that have been combating this crisis for years, The victims, the families, the survivors, the advocates, the boots on the ground. Those are the people that have been driving this. We as tribal leaders and tribal governments are coming to the floor, again, the table, to see how we can help and assist. It was a beautiful day yesterday. It was a heavy day at the same time to bring awareness. You had probably about 400, 500 people there yesterday, hosted by a press conference, a keynote speaker, Assemblymember James Ramos, who has authored AB 44 and has also offered AB 273, which are 2 pending bills that have been introduced that are going to combat the MMIP crisis.
And let's take those one at a time. AB 44 involves tribal public safety. What does this accomplish?
Thank you. 2 things. Well, there's more things. What one is that as CLETS, which is also known as the California Legal Enforcement Telecommunication System, this will allow our tribal courts, our peace officer, our law enforcement, to have that data that right now we don't have access to that. As a sovereign government who manages, oversees their tribal government in their lands, This will put us on the same playing field as our state partners. And again, we are filling in, identifying the gaps in real time.
So in some ways, you're at a disadvantage.
Absolutely.
To other agencies outside the tribal world in California that have a database that they all share. You're at this moment in the dark on that.
Absolutely.
I did not know.
Absolutely. And we've got great support from our local law enforcement up there in Humboldt and Del Norte County regarding this. And again, we want to all come together regarding resources, information. We want to be able to have access of individuals protective orders against them. Our tribal courts want to put our protective orders against individuals. Not only our law enforcement, but the local county sheriffs can have that same access. And again, working together as one to protect our MMIP.
And the second piece of legislation, Assembly Bill 273, it's called Protecting and Locating Foster Children Missing from Care. What's this bill do, assuming it's passed?
I urge our legislators to pass both of them. They're both vital and critical to combat the MMIP crisis. It is a protecting children missing from foster care. Currently, the system right now, you are not mandated when a child goes missing from foster care. Our data and research, this is a pipeline for our young children regarding MMIP.
So you're saying at this moment,
it's not mandated by
notification that they're going missing.
When a young child or man or woman goes missing, a youth from the foster care system, the local county is not mandated to report this.
And that's information that they would share with other law enforcement agencies in California, but not with the tribal nations.
Correct. They would notify the tribal nation. They would notify the court system. And again, when an individual is abducted from the foster care system, we need to know they're going missing that day, that week, so we can take action. And weeks, month is unacceptable.
I understand that you are, in fact, a sovereign nation, but it seems like in all the hundreds of years that your nation and ours have existed on the same piece of land, it's incredible to me that we haven't established this basic level of cooperation much, much sooner.
Yeah. No, I think, we've come a long way recently in the last, we've made strides in other areas. And again, is what we're bringing is forward is the MMIP crisis. And what we have identified at our end with our advocates, victims, stories, tribal leaders, law enforcement, there's gaps. And we're bringing those gaps forward. And laws need to be updated to reflect the current crisis we're dealing with.
You also yesterday called for an historic investment of $200 million to build programs and services that prevent girls, women, and people from becoming missing or murdered. Help us visualize where that money goes if it's granted.
This money would be provided for the regions, Southern California, Central California, Northern California. As you mentioned a little earlier, does this impact all of us? Absolutely impacts all tribes and non-recognized tribes in the state of California. This funding would be used for tribes to access to prevention, awareness, mental health. When we find these individuals, they got to come home. The trauma that they experience, the wellness that they're going to need, the support they're going to need. When someone goes missing, an investigator, a prosecutor, these are all resources that tribes could benefit from this funding.
Yeah, by their very nature, what you're talking about are very traumatic situations where just because the victim comes home doesn't mean it's all over. They and their families are going to need counseling, are going to need help to be able to healthily process what has happened to them.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And to talk about yesterday, you heard a lot of stories of people surviving, impacting themselves, their children. Trauma that could be passed down, We're trying to do everything we can. Tribal, state, local government, advocates, and people. And again, I'll go back to it. We have an opportunity here as California to wake up. Wake up, state legislators. Wake up. The crisis is here. It's been here. fifth largest caseloads of MIP in the United States. It's in our backyard. No more.
So given that this has been going on for generations, touching Native American and Indigenous lives, why do you think now is the time that the state is listening and is likely to act?
I want to acknowledge our first Native Indigenous elected official, Mr. Assemblymember James Ramos. He and his colleagues have done great work in moving forward laws that not just protect Indigenous, but impact and protect the community. That's one. I think now, and again, continuing on the momentum of the feather alert that we passed last year with Assemblyman Ramos and the legislators and the governor signing it, the momentum and the crisis and the need is here. Speak from your heart. Lead from your heart. Help one another. Pick each other up. The time has been here. And again, I'm very proud and honored to be on this radio, but more important, I'm proud to get that message out there. We need help, and we continue to seek resources when we're going to continue to move forward.
Assemblymember Ramos clearly gives you a key element of representation at the Capitol, and that's invaluable. But how is your relationship with the rest of the legislature, and do you believe that if these bills are passed, you have the support and the signature of Governor Newsom?
I feel we have great support. I want to also recognize our representatives, Assemblymember Jim Wood, Senator Mike McGuire, strong supporters. We've met with legislators, roughly about 26 of them. I've got to go meet some more after this. We've got strong support regarding these two bills. We've talked to the governor. We sent him a number of letters. He hears our voice. And again, I feel that we have the support there. We've got some work yet to do, just like any other bill. You've got to put the time and the work in and the push. And again, when you have a number of tribes, 110 in the state of California pushing, advocates, family, organizations, domestic violence groups, men and women, legislators, we feel we have the support.
You're in Sacramento to make the case to the elected officials. You're on the radio for a different reason. That's to talk to the average Californian mm-hmm. who is listening, who may not have known anything about this 15 minutes ago when we began this conversation. What do you want the people who are listening to us right now on CAP Radio to take away from this conversation?
It could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody at any point, any time. Your family, your daughter could be abducted, could gone missing. It's a terrible feeling when I have family come into my office as a tribal chairman and to listen to the heartfelt stories that they're going through. Can't imagine that. But I try to put my place there, and it's very heavy. And again, this has been going on for years to Indigenous people of color. This could happen to anybody here, and we have an opportunity to make that change in California.
And I think it's important for us to close with reemphasizing to the people who are listening or the people who've joined us midway that the tribes have their own investigative and law enforcement agencies. You have your own forces to do this. What you're lacking is basic interactivity with data that all other law enforcement agencies in the state have and funding to do the best work that you possibly can.
And I just wanted to, not all tribes have law enforcement. Each tribe's different.
Okay.
In different cases. You have tribes southern, central, northern, inland, on the mountains. Each tribe is different.
Okay.
They have different capacity.
This was something I didn't understand.
Yeah. So you have a number of us, small tribes, medium, large tribes. We're the largest populated state of California. And again, the takeaway here but he wants to help send a letter into their local assembly member and urge the passage of AB 44 and also AB 273 and also the support of the funding of $200 million that the tribes will be able to utilize to combat this crisis in California.
Chairman Joseph James of the Yurok Tribe talking about the crisis of missing and murdered indigenous people and why more than 100 tribes across the state are calling on lawmakers to pass legislation and historic funding to curb this epidemic. Chairman, thank you again for taking the time to come in and be with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me this morning.
Still ahead, Sacramento is honoring Tyree Nichols, the 29-year-old who died after being hospitalized following a brutal beating by Memphis police. We'll hear from his friends and family and get a glimpse of who Tyree was and his impact on those who knew him. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Haggerty. We're back in just a moment.